In your pews today, if you have not noticed already, we do have communion cups available to you. We'll be serving communion a little bit different than what we have, but I thought, what better way to start the new year than to start it with communion?
Yeah.
I can't help but be somewhat emotional. Our world in which we live takes a toll on us mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It really does. And what's most important for us as a church body and as Christians is we have to do, as David said, and sometimes that's very difficult, we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not going to have somebody there to cheer you on and to say, hey, everything's going to be all right. Grandpa used to say you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just make the best of it. And sometimes that's what life throws at us. And we get discouraged, we get despondent. But regardless of all of that, there is a purpose. And today I hope to explain communion maybe in a little bit different way than what we've heard it before. And I'll do my best not to keep you too long today. But communion is an intimate time between you and the Lord.
Yes, it is.
It's a special time between you and Him. And so if you will go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today, that's where I will take my text. Most of you can quote this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 27. Let's read 23 through 26 instead. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word? For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. You may be seated. What better way to start the new year than to take communion? Now, let me tell you, I know we normally, the board normally serves the bread and the juice, and so get yourself familiar with your cup. In the very top of it is the wafer of bread that we'll partake of later, and you have your juice. So you have it all in one. It's just right there, and we'll be able to take that together. Communion in a little bit different format today than maybe you've heard it before, both in the sermon and in the fashion in which we partake it. Nonetheless, one in which we should hold in deepest regard and respect. How many of you seen the table I've got set up here today? Looks pretty snazzy, doesn't it? Even if I didn't do it myself. You've got the candles, you've got the nice dinnerware and the glasses, and I want you to think about this as we talk about communion today. Whenever you go to a restaurant, the host or the hostess will greet you, and often they'll ask, how many's in your party? Anybody? Everybody's had that happen, right? How many's in your party? And then they'll look for a table to accommodate your needs. Can you imagine going to a restaurant, being asked that question, but not being able to give an answer? Good evening, sir. How many's in your party? Well, I'm not really sure. Well, do you know why you're here, sir? Well, no, I guess I don't. The host or the hostess would look rather confused, and no doubt we would be confused as well. However, when we come to the Lord's table, you must know the exact same thing. I think sometimes we come to the Lord's table and we partake of it out of just religious monotony. We take it just because, oh, it's what we're supposed to do. Really, without recognizing the whole purpose of what's behind it. So when we come to the Lord's table, we have to know the same. We need to know how many's in our party, and we need to know why we're here. The very word communion implies being with someone. It means having in communion or having in common or partnership. It's fellowship that's recognized, fellowship that's enjoyed, sharing. And it's also related to the word communication. We must see that having communion is more than eating a little wafer of bread and drinking a little cup of juice. You can have communion, which is the ordinance found in Scripture, without having communion, the fellowship.
Right. Yeah.
You can have communion, the ordinance found in Scripture, without having communion, the fellowship. For example, you could sit down for a meal with your wife, your family, maybe a friend, but mentally be a million miles away and completely ignore them. We've all been there. Engaging in an activity in our mind is nowhere near where it should be. I like dinner at home without distractions of phones. That becomes more and more challenging, but I like that. Just like communion, though, we can attend worship service without worshiping. We can give our tithe and offering without giving.
Right.
We can be a Christian without being a Christ follower.
Right.
We can play the part and not be what we're supposed to be. We can do all the right things. We can walk into the very presence of God and not enter into His presence.
Right.
Oh yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You can be present in body and absent in mind.
Right.
We should come to the table and partake simply because Jesus said we should. He told us in our text that I read just a few minutes ago. It's not an either-or issue. We should maintain a continual awareness of God's presence in our life. And we should come to the table periodically as a continuation of our ongoing fellowship to remind ourselves of its significance and to celebrate the very foundation of our relationship with Him. That foundation being the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When we look at the first question of why we're here, why are we here taking the bread and juice? Here's why. We remember Christ's death in the past. Yes? We are reminded of His presence in our life right now. And we anticipate His coming in the future. What an awesome God. A God who has made a significant impact in every tense. If you remember English, there are three tenses: past, present, and future. We serve a God who we remember His death in the past, we're reminded of His presence in our life right now, and we anticipate His coming in the future.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
But what about the second question of how many are in your party? Who's with you? Look at this table again that I've set up. I've set up a table here for two. Kind of a romantic type setting. On our anniversary, sometimes I like to take Cammie to a nice restaurant where the linens are white, there's some candles, and you have a nice setting set up. But it's a time for us to focus on each other, to rekindle the romance, to nurture the relationship. The same it is with the Lord's table. It's a time to focus on Him. A time to rekindle the romance, so to speak. To nurture our relationship with Him.
Right.
You've heard the phrase, two is company and three's a crowd. Even if there were 3,000 people in the sanctuary today, or if there were only 30, communion can and always should be a deeply personal time between you and the Lord. It should be a time that you focus on Him, and He will you as well. Rekindling that intimacy,
yes.
Nurturing the relationship. Anybody hearing me today?
Yes, sir.
Communion can be a time when you focus on the company that you keep with the Lord Jesus. I love this. Jesus died for you personally. Jesus shed his blood for you personally. You have been forgiven personally. You have been made a child of God personally. His Spirit has been sent to dwell in you personally.
Yes.
Somebody say personal God.
Personal God.
God deserves the praise because he is a personal God. Now, when I was a kid, or how many of you have been raised in church pretty much all your life? You've taken communion before numerous times. When I was a kid, I was scared to death to take communion. Let me tell you why. Don't everybody act like you didn't, because some of you were too. Especially if you've been raised Pentecost, you were. Not to take anything away from the sacredness and the holiness that it involves, but I knew that there were times I had sinned. And unless I had been a perfect young man, which was most of the time, I shouldn't partake in communion, or that's what I told myself. Go with me to just a few verses down, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read verses 27 through 30 for just a second. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So when I was a kid, I was scared to death sometimes to take communion because I knew I hadn't been perfect. That's what I told myself. Examining yourself, though, here in Scripture, is certainly not the same thing as condemning yourself.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
Follow me here for just a second. That's what I did. Examining yourself, what Scripture tells us, is not the same thing as condemning yourself. Examine yourself. How do we do that? When I think of examine, I think of a bright light, maybe under a microscope, maybe in a highlight area that's not easily visible. And examine Scripture here in the same light is in the light of God's love, in the light of His mercy, in the light of His shed blood, in the light of His Word.
Yeah.
Examine means to inspect, to search diligently. Yeah. I want to make this very clear. Having sinned does not disqualify anyone from taking communion.
Amen.
Having sinned does not disqualify anyone from taking communion. If it did, not one of us in here would qualify.
Amen.
This table, the table, the Lord's bread and the drink, the juice here in just a few minutes, is not for perfect people. However, it is for imperfect people to recognize that without Him and without the blood and life that He shed, we cannot enjoy communion.
Right.
Yeah. It's simply impossible. But Brother Chris, after I've examined, then what? Then we see areas in which we need to make adjustments. And you make it. Period. I've mentioned this so many times before, but I continue to remind myself of this constantly. And it's my way of examining, or it's my way of making adjustments. But when I read something in Scripture, or when I study, or when I'm in prayer, and I find something that I don't like or I don't agree with, I have to assume I am wrong. Have you ever read something in Scripture and it just convicted you?
Yeah.
And then maybe have you tried to justify your actions?
Sure.
I have. But whenever I read something in Scripture and I examine it in the light of His Word, I have to assume that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
He is right.
Yes, sir.
And those are the times that we have to make adjustments. Whenever I read, study, or in prayer, and I see an area of my life that doesn't line up with God's Word, and I'm convicted, I have to make adjustments.
Right.
Adjustments that need to be made in light of His Word, and it's non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Making adjustments is not condemning. Examining ourselves is not condemning ourselves. Remember I said that examining is not the same thing. Let me explain just a little bit more. If you're driving, you start veering off towards the side, you realize you need to make an adjustment, right?
Right.
So that you don't go off the road. However, if you're not paying attention at all, maybe texting, putting on makeup, talking on the phone, grabbing something off the floor, I've seen it all. And you look up and a semi-truck is headed your way, and you've crossed the center line, you might overcorrect and wreck. That overcorrecting is like condemnation. Make adjustments in your life that need adjusted, but don't overcorrect and condemn yourself. Scripture isn't telling us to condemn ourselves here. It's telling us to examine and make the needed adjustments.
Right.
Hey, we fall.
Right.
We fail. Is it possible not to sin every day? I believe it is possible not to sin every day.
Yeah.
God's grace is sufficient. We strive for perfection, but yet we do fall. And we do sin. And that does not disqualify us from His table.
Amen.
Do our kids make mistakes? Yet we still feed them. We still provide for their needs. How much more our Heavenly Father loves and takes care of us and doesn't disqualify us from partaking in His table. See, Jesus wants to help us overcome, not condemn us for falling short. He tells us we can live in victory, not in bondage. What about discerning that Jesus' body was broken for you and discerning His body? Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5 with me. Says, surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Somebody say that last line with me. And by His stripes we are healed. By His stripes, we are healed. I see no reference to cancer, to COVID, no matter what here. He says, by My stripes, you are healed. He took stripes for our healing. That is part of discerning the Lord's body and understanding what Jesus accomplished when He was afflicted for us. We've been talking about the fact that communion is a time when you and God can fellowship personally. A table for two. Who's ready to come to the table? This is the Lord's table. And everyone who belongs to Him, regardless of any other labels that we may put on each other, we all have the right to partake. We have equal access, for this is an equal opportunity table. If we're going to enjoy communion as a table for two, we must also make sure that we are enjoying it as a table for all. Paul tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, he says, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. NIV actually puts it like this: your meetings do more harm than good. Paul went on to describe a situation in the Corinthian church where strife and division had even affected the way believers approached the Lord's table. A person will never enjoy his or her relationship with God and receive all the blessings God has if that person is harboring rebellious attitude or animosity towards someone else.
Right.
It's not possible. Our attitude and our actions have very much to do with what we receive from God.
For sure. Yes.
Are you sure about that, Brother Chris? Let's go to Job chapter 42 and verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Why did Job have to pray for his friends? Oh yeah, those were the guys that said, Job, forget it. Move on. Your God isn't worth it. Job had to pray for them. And when he made things right, God restored. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says this, But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, we all know this scripture, and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there. And first, be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Hey, this is black and white. Not easily, don't have to put a whole lot into that. He's saying if you've got something against somebody, you better take care of it first.
Right.
Before you bring your needs here. James 5 and 16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Indeed, our attitudes and our actions have much to do with what we receive from God. In just a moment, we're going to partake of the wafer and the cup. Because the wafer represents the body of Christ, we should handle and treat it respectfully.
Yes, sir.
The person on your left, even though you may have to look a little further today. The person on your right. The person in front of you. The person behind you is also part of the body of Christ. Amen?
Yes.
I want you to get this. The person that's on our left, right, front, behind us, in front of us, they are part of the body of Christ. So the bottom line is this. Don't think that you can honor that piece of bread while we dishonor or mistreat our brothers and sisters in the Lord.
That's good. Yes, sir. That's good.
When we gossip, when we talk about, when we tear down our brothers and our sisters in the Lord, and yet we try to partake of the Lord's body, we are not discerning the Lord's body.
Right.
How dare we think that we can partake of that when we can't even respect those that we fellowship with?
Yeah, that's good, Chris.
If you do, you're not discerning the Lord's body. Scripturally, that's backed up right here in the Corinthian church. This is where they missed it. In taking communion, they were claiming to be honoring the Lord's body, but their careless and selfish behavior was dishonoring the body of Christ. But the bread and juice is before you today. You know why we've come. You know how many is in your party. It's a table for two between you and the Lord. But it's also a table for us all. It's a place where we recognize, where we honor, where we respect all others who are also a part of the body of Christ. It's a place where we acknowledge and we give thanks to God for what all He's done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned about examining ourselves, and Scripture tells us to do so. So I'm going to give us a moment to examine ourselves according to Scripture. I'm going to have Lisa play a worship song as you do, and it's just simply called the Communion Song. And as we do, I want us just to talk to the Lord. Not to condemn yourself, but to examine your heart and say, Lord, show me those places that need adjustment.
Yes.
How many of you know that we all can make adjustments?
Yes, sir.
We all can do better. We're all striving for the same goal. The point is that examining ourselves, He doesn't tell us to examine our brothers and sisters.
Right.
He He says, take care of you. And when you do, we discern the Lord's body, we make the adjustments that we need, and then we can come to this table, we can partake freely, and we can enjoy that communion that He so desperately wants for each and every one of us. Would you bow your head with me? And Lisa, would you go ahead and pray this?
Just talk to the Lord this morning, just between you and Him.
Sir.
so that we could have life.
Yes.
And that more abundantly. If you would, take your communion cup. There's two layers, a top layer for the wafer, and then a second layer for the juice. And take your wafer. For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken. We remember it, Lord. And God, we know that your body was broken, God, so that we could have eternal life with you. Let us never take the bread unworthily. Let us always discern your body. Lord, we thank you for the grace that covers all of our sin. We give you praise and we give you glory. Would you eat? And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's give him thanks for the cup. Lord, we thank you for your blood. God, without that blood that was shed on Calvary, God, there's no remission of sin, and we have no hope if it was not for that blood. God, I thank you today, God, that your blood sets us free. I thank you for what was accomplished on the cross, Lord. God, forgive me when I don't take your body and the cup as worthy as it is, Lord. But we give you glory, we give you praise for it. When he had given thanks, he took the cup. Would you partake of the cup? As we remember what his body and what his blood represents. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for your broken body. God, help it to be so ingrained in our lives and in our hearts what you did for us on the cross. Without the cross, we have nothing. But God, you were victorious. And because you were victorious, you have made us kings and priests and children of God. And we can also live victorious. I give you praise and I give you glory. And we thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Don't you love him today? Aren't you thankful that we have a personal God? I know that we're heading into a time of fasting that pastors called for the first part of this year. We normally do. Let me encourage you that as often as you feel the Spirit leads you, there was a year that I took communion every day for 21 days after the first of the year. There's nothing wrong with that. If you feel like doing that, by all means, do it. But let's take the first 21 days of this year and really consecrate in prayer, be in fasting, do something, fast something, ask God to give us a new hunger and a new thirst. Listen, yes. If there's ever a time that we need it, it's now.
Yes, sir.
If there's ever a time that we need more encouragement in the body of Christ, it's now.
Amen.
It's now. We need each other. God bless you.
Yeah,
I'd like you. All right, go ahead.
I enjoyed the message very much and thankful for communion. No, you did as well.